before I had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I grew up going to church, was baptized when I was younger. Felt like I was just going through the motions, though, of doing what I was supposed to be doing, going to church every Sunday. But then realized that I needed to do more than just go through the motions, going to church on Sundays. I needed to be living my life for Jesus Christ and give everything to Him. The night that I realized that I needed to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I was down in my basement actually doing laundry. And I was just praying for financial relief of getting through difficulty. And I told Jesus that I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't do it just with Him. I couldn't do it just my parents' help. That I needed Him to just take it. That I wanted to live my life for Him for the rest of my life. My life is different now that I have began a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because everything that I do now is for the glory of God. When I wake up in the morning, praise Him that I'm awake, that I have another day to live. Getting up, going to work every day, making the money, but it's all for Him. Just being able to do daily things, knowing it's for the glory of God, whether it's getting up Sunday, going to church, or getting up, going to work, being with friends, family, anything. I know it's all because of Him. I am now serving in media team, set up and tear down crew. I also help out with Journey Tots and Journey Kids weekly. I think going to Journey groups every week and being involved in church and having personal relationships with members in church and in Journey groups and having them push for questions and answers and my learning really pushed me to know that I needed Jesus for the rest of my life and to live for Him. My name is Kim, and I have began a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's awesome. We love hearing those stories about how God comes in and just reminds us of who He is and who we are, and that on our own, we are not enough. It's not about how much we can do. It's not about how good we can be, but it's about how great God is and what He does for us. So, Kim, I ask you today in front of all these folks that I know make you so comfortable and relaxed to be up here in front of people. Kim would be much more happy serving someplace in the back. You know, it's all those places that she serves where people like to look at her, you know? She gets to be just kind of behind the scenes. But right now, as you're in front of all these folks, I ask you, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Then based upon that confession, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For we are buried with Him in death, and raised to walk in newness of life. We love to celebrate, as you can hear. This is our favorite thing to celebrate. We believe that beginning a personal relationship with Jesus is the single most important decision a person can ever make. And so we're thrilled that that's something that you've done. And we also want to remind you that God has called us to be the light of the world. We don't just light a light so that it'll shine for ourselves, but so that it'll shine for others. So we give you this candle as a reminder to always let your light shine for Christ. Thanks so much. Give her a hand. Wrapping up our series called Identity Theft. We've been there the last 5 weeks talking about what it means to find our identity in Christ. And then what does that look like? How do we live that out? How do we make an impact on the world around us with that identity? Now, I have to tell you, I shared with some of you last Sunday morning, we found out right before church started, that our identity had been stolen. Rachel and I, our debit cards had been stolen. Not literally, but like the information, that kind of thing. We had people in California making purchases and all of it. Joke was on them because there was no money in the account for them to spend, okay, all right? But, you know, our identity was stolen. So then we began thinking back a little bit, you know. We did a series several months ago called The Team. At the same time, we were kind of building some of our ministry teams at church, and that kind of coincided with stuff. We did a series called Dealing with Personal Crisis and Tragedy. That's kind of what it was about. At the same time that I went in the hospital for 27 days, I began to find out that some of these series line up with actual life events. So I've changed the title of my series for next week that we kick off. We're going to call it When Money Falls from Heaven into the Back of My Pickup. I'm just kind of hoping that that one will kind of work too. No, we are kicking off a new series next week, but not that. But it's been fun to kind of look at what it means to find our identity in Christ. And just to kind of catch you up a little bit and kind of give you a really quick synopsis, that the purpose of today is to just kind of wrap up what we've done. We talk about the fact that many of us find our identity in very good things. I grew up finding my identity in how well I could do my schoolwork, or how well I could sing, or how well I could play a certain sport, or whatever it was. And so there were titles that would get attached, you know, to me because of that. And there would be identifying markers, you know. Well, he's a member of the football team. Well, that's an identifying marker. Or he's a part of this group, or he's a part of that group. Some of you get what it's like to be known for what you do. You know, if you're a teacher, you know, that becomes part of your identity. If you work at a bank, that becomes part of your identity. If you're a college student, being broke is part of your identity. All those kinds of things begin to happen. And so all of those things are very good things. You know, being a mom, great identity. Being a dad, being a husband, being a wife, all those things are so good. But they were never intended to be our true identifying marker. They were never intended to be the fingerprint of who we are. One of the reasons that we use this little logo in our identity theft series is because there's this idea that every fingerprint is unique, that God has created us for something specific. And for us to understand that identity, who we were designed to be in Him, part of what we have to do is we have to reject the really good things so that we can identify with the best thing. What do I mean by that? Well, I love being Rachel's husband. At least 2 out of every 3 days. I love that, all right? And one of the cool things is that if somebody walks up to me and, you know, we're at an event where they know her and they don't mean that, oh, well, you're Rachel's husband. Yes, I am. That is a great identifying marker. I love being known as that. But if that's who I begin to build my life around, if that's the identifying marker that I begin to claim as mine, then all of a sudden, there's the opportunity for my thought about myself, for my opinion of myself and what I do to be based on that relationship and that connection. If I base my identity on how good I am at my job, then what happens is there are descriptive words that can be put in front of my identity. So if my identity is a pastor, then somebody can say, well, he's a good pastor. Somebody can say he's a bad pastor. Somebody can say he's a weird pastor, whatever those kinds of things are. They're descriptive words that get added to that identity that begin to affect the way that I think and feel about who I am. But we learned way back at the beginning of the series that there was only one true identity that God called us to. The other things are all good. They're all a part of who we are, but they are not our true central identity. But God, who created us and formed us in His image, even though we were separated from Him by sin, chose to send His Son to die for you and for me, so that that gap, that massive divide between Him and His creation could be restored and we could be brought back into relationship with Him. And if we believe in Him and who He was and what He did, and we choose to put our full faith and trust in Him, not in what we can do, but in Him, and we acknowledge Him as Lord of our life, meaning that He has the right to direct every step we take, not just convenient things on Sunday, not just when it sounds good or feels good, but if we truly allow Him to direct every step that we take, we get the opportunity to come in relationship with Him.
And once we come into relationship with him, we find the true identity that God destined us for, which is child of God. See, there's no descriptor that can be put in front of child of God. Either you are or you aren't. I talked about this the other day. My son is my son. There are days when our relationship may not be that great. There are days when things may be difficult, but nothing changes the fact that he's my son. There's no descriptive word that goes in front of that that changes it. And in the exact same way, when I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my identity is child of God. There may be times when the relationship is damaged or suffering most of the time because of what I'm doing, because I'm not choosing to allow him to direct my life. But it never changes my identity as a child of God. So we come today to the wrap of this series. And I want to go to a passage in Galatians, just a couple of verses actually. And this is really where I want us to focus today. Galatians chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 19. It says, "For through the law, I have died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, I want us to hear just a couple really key things about these verses today that I think helps us understand how our identity shapes the action of our life. It says, "For through the law, I have died to the law so that I might live for God." Now, what does that mean? We have to remember that when Paul wrote this, he was living in a time where the Jewish law was everything to them. I mean, not only was there everything that we find in the Bible today, but there were literally thousands of additional laws that were written above and beyond these. I mean, about how far you could walk on Sunday and how much work you could do on this day of the week and that day of the week and all this other kind of stuff going on. I mean, it was rule after rule after rule after rule. But if you were to truly follow in their footsteps of faith, you had to keep all of those laws. And Paul begins to share with them. He says, "Look, I'm dying to the law so that I can live for Christ." I think if we are going to truly live out the identity of child of God in the world that we live in, which, by the way, really isn't that much different than the world Paul lived in. Technology's different, absolutely. Things that we know about our world are different, but people are people. Stuff is stuff. It's just kind of the way things are. If we're going to truly live out our identity, we have to understand that it's not about the rules. It's about the relationship. See, Paul said, "I died to the law so that I could live for Christ." What does that mean? Does that mean he doesn't pay attention to the law anymore? Does it mean that the law has no more bearing on his life? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it means is that the rules take secondary place in his life to the relationship. The relationship is what sets about the action in his life. And because the relationship in his life is focused on God, the actions or the rules and the do's and the don'ts begin to fall in line. Now, why is that so important? Real simple. If it's all about the rules and not about the relationship, then it's about going through a set of motions. If it's about the rules, then it's about how good I am at keeping them. It's about how good I am at doing them. But when it's about relationship, all of a sudden it's different. When it's about relationship, it's about what God has done for me in relationship. It's about what God allows me to be able to do because of his goodness and his grace and his mercy in my life. When it's about rules, it's about what I can accomplish or I can't accomplish. But when it's about relationship, it's about Jesus. See, there is a massive difference there. One of the reasons that many times we find ourselves so struggling to follow Jesus is because we are so freaked out trying to follow the rules. And some of us get so freaked out trying to follow the rules that we just throw the towel and say, "Well, I can't do it, so I might as well not even try. And others of us get pious and self-righteous about it and say, well, I can follow the rules better than that person, so look at me. But the reality is that God desires for us to be in relationship with him in such a way that it's not about following the rules. It's about being in relationship. It's about loving God so much that we do things out of love and desire, not out of rule following. Quick disclaimer, I'm about to brag, okay? All right, so that you know that. I'll just say it up front. I will admit my sin and confess to you all right now. About to brag. My daughter was in a show this week. Her middle school did a production of, did I just lose me? Hello, hello? Are we there? Okay, good. I couldn't hear me echoing up here. I just want that big booming voice, you know, because I'm a big booming guy or something like that. I don't know. So there we go. There it is. Thank you. See, ask and it shall be granted. No, that's totally out of context. Here we go. So my daughter was in this production of Music Man Junior this week, and it was so cool. Got to go watch it and everything, and it was great. And I couldn't go to the Friday night show. Friday night show was the big public show. She had a show on Wednesday. She had two shows on Thursday, but they were during the school day, and kids from the different Bradley schools were coming to see it and that kind of thing. And so I went to Caitlin. I said, Caitlin, I can't be your Friday night show because I have another commitment. So to make up for it, I will come to all three of the other shows. Because as a parent, that's what we do when we feel guilty, okay? When we can't do what we know we really ought to do, we make up for it by trying to do a bunch of other stuff that really, you know, may or may not matter. So I'll show up for every single one of those. I mean, I listen to first and second grade kids laugh and holler and snot all through a performance. I listen to fifth and sixth graders do it. I listened to seventh, eighth. I mean, every group that came through, I was there and I heard them and I saw them and was exposed to more germs than I would ever like to be. I don't know how you teachers walk around without just like constant sanitizer spray, okay? I'm just going to say that this time of year. And so I'm there watching these performances and all excited about it and everything. And Caitlin did a great job. I mean, she really did. She's good and talented and cute and all that kind of stuff. And so she just did a really good job. And so it was Friday night. And I already had permission not to go to the show. She'd already said it was okay. It was no big deal. And I had a commitment Friday night. I had a rehearsal I had to be at for something else. And so I got there to that rehearsal early and I got some tech stuff done that I needed to do and some different things. And all of a sudden I looked at the guy who was directing that rehearsal and I said, man, do I have to be here? He's like, well, what do you mean? I said, I just really want to go to my daughter's show. Tonight's the one where her community friends are going to be there and some people we know and that kind of thing. I really want to go to my daughter's show. And he just looked at me. He's like, well, why aren't you there? So I packed up all my stuff and I went to the show. Now, I want you to understand, I didn't go to that show because it was a set of rules. My wife didn't look at me and say, if you don't attend all four shows, no kisses when you come home tonight. Okay, I mean, she didn't say any of that kind of stuff. But it's because I was in relationship with my daughter and I love my daughter that all of a sudden I had this incredible desire to want to be with my daughter. See, I didn't do it because I had to. I did it because I wanted to. That's the difference between rules and relationship. People say, well, you know, if you follow Jesus, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do that. I mean, you just can't have any fun. Baloney, okay? But it's not about what I can't do and what I can do. It's about being in relationship with Jesus and doing what's right in that relationship. There's a second thing that I want you to see in this passage. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, this is what the writer here recognized. He recognized that the life he has is because of God. God created him. The life he has is because of Jesus, who offered his life for him. To save him, to save that brokenness in relationship and restore the relationship. And so something significant happened in the writer's mind. He said, look, it's no longer my life that I'm living, but it's Christ living in and through me. It's no longer my name on the ID badge. It's his. It's no longer my fingerprint that identifies me. It's God. I see a lot of people that claim to love God. I see a lot of people who have been faithful. They've gone to worship. They've done good things. They've given money. They've done lots of great stuff. But they've never grasped onto the identity that God had designed for their life. It's not about what church you go to. It's not about what political party you're a part of. It's not about what your vocation is or isn't. It's about, do you have relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you do, are you finding your true identity in him? Now that is so contrary to what most of us have been taught our entire lives. It's about how far we go. It's about how good we do. It's about what we can accomplish. And Paul says here, man, it's not about the rules. It's not about how good I have or haven't been, but it's about this incredible relationship that I have with God. And so because of that, my identity is child of God, because God lives in and through me. As I look at what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in my life, I will tell you that I get caught up in that trap so often. And I saw something the other day that began to put some of this in focus for me. And so if we could, just take a couple minutes and watch the screen and see if this impacts you the way it did me. Thank you. My past does not define me. My mistakes do not define me. My successes do not define me. My titles do not define me. My true identity comes from being a child of God, comes from being in personal relationship with Him. Now, let me tell you, when that happens, it's not like everything just flips a switch and everything's perfect and wonderful in my life. But it means that I'm in relationship with the one who has the answers for my life. My identity is found in Him. Nate's coming up right now. Nate's going to begin to play. He's going to sing for us in just a second as we kind of go through a time of commitment as we wrap up this series. But let me tell you just a couple ways that I would love for us to consider responding today. And you guys know that we don't necessarily do a response kind of time every week, but I think it's kind of significant today. We've already seen modeled for us in Kim somebody. I mean, if you just ask somebody on the street that knew Kim, oh man, Kim's a great person. I mean, she's giving. I mean, she'd do anything for you. She'd show up and help. I mean, she's just a sweet, kind, gracious, incredible person. Those are all titles that I could give her, but Kim began to see that in her life, that wasn't enough. It wasn't about what she was doing or not doing. It was about that identity of being in relationship with God, being a child of God. She modeled for us today what it means to follow in obedience to Him. And maybe you're here today and you have never begun a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You may not even know what that means. We've talked about it in some vague terms today, but we've not talked specifically about what it means to take that step of faith. I can tell you this, it's the easiest, hardest thing you'll ever do in your life. What I mean by that is it is so simple. God didn't ask us to jump through hoops. God didn't ask us to fix everything in our life before we come to Him. We talked about that last week. But instead, He asked us to come just as we are, broken, hurting, struggling. He says, I want you to be my child. But it's the hardest thing we ever do because sometimes we think there's no way it can be that easy. It's got to be about what I can accomplish. It's got to be about what I can do. Surely I have to do more to make this work. But it's God's reminder to us that it's not what we can do, but it's about what He has already done for us in offering His Son in our place to take the guilt and the shame and the burden of sin so that we didn't have to bear that because there's no way we could. In just a minute, when Nate begins to sing, I'm going to offer some of you a challenge. If you've never begun a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, when Nate begins to sing in just a little bit, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and walk to the back. I'm not going to put you on display up here. I'm not going to single you out, put you on the spot, anything like that. But there's some folks in the back with white lanyards around their neck that would just love the opportunity to talk with you about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus. If you just want to talk there in the back around the coffee tables, they'll do that. If you want to go someplace more private so that you just don't feel on display or whatever, that's totally fine. They'd be more than happy to do that with you. Talk about what it means to really know your identity, to know that you are a child of God. But there's a second thing I'm going to ask some of you to do, and I think Kyle and some others, Tim's got it for me. Bring that stuff on up here if you would, Tim. For most of us, if we are honest, we find our identity in things other than being a child of God. We find our identity in what we've accomplished. We find our identity as mom. We find our identity as dad or brother or student or teacher or employer or employee, whatever it might be, that's where we find our identity. We even begin to take pride in our fingerprint. I'm unique, I'm special, I'm different. And all those things are true. But what makes us special is not only who we are, but it's who God is and how He has chosen to love us. There are some of us that because our identity has been found in other things besides God, that we fail to share with others what we ought to be sharing. We fail to connect with others in ways that we ought to connect. We fail to help and to serve others because we're so caught up in our own identity. But for those of us who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, God has told us very clearly, very specifically, that our job, our role in relationship with Him is to take His message of hope and salvation and love and grace and mercy to a community that desperately needs to know about His goodness in our lives. And if my identity is truly found as a child of God, then I want other people to know about that relationship. There's some of us today that we just haven't done that. We've allowed our identity to be found in other things rather than in Him. So I'm going to give some of you an opportunity to take and attach a physical action to a spiritual connection. Sometimes I think it helps us. We have little stamp pads up here. I played with these as a kid. Got in trouble more than once or twice. I want my identity to be found in Jesus. I want my identity to be found as a child of God. Not as Chad the pastor, not as Chad a dad, not as Chad a musician, not as Chad a anything. I just want to be known as Chad, a child of God. And if you have a personal relationship with Jesus and that's what you want your identity to be known as, that's what you want to publicly profess your identity to be, then I'm just going to give you the opportunity when Nate begins to sing in a minute to come down, take your fingerprint, and place it on here next to mine. We thought ahead, there's baby wipes up here so you can immediately clean off in case you're worried. I saw that look in some of your eyes. Nothing spiritual, sacred about coming and putting a thumbprint on a board. But let me tell you, if I can't hop out of my seat and identify with Jesus in the midst of people who have been worshiping Him and honoring Him at a time that they set aside to do that, then how in the world am I ever going to identify with Jesus when I get out into the world that I live every day? God, I just pray that in these moments, God, I pray that You would lead us to action. God, there's some of us here today that desperately need to know more about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And God, I pray, I beg that when Nate begins to sing, they would just get up out of their seat and they would move to the back and they would find somebody and talk with them about what it means to know You in personal relationship, what it means to find an identity as child of God. And then God, I pray for many of the rest of us who may have claimed that identity, but sometimes struggle to show it publicly. God, I pray that we would get out of our comfort zone and we would identify with You, not just because it's a fingerprint on a board, God, but because it's an action saying, God, I want to be known as Yours. God, we love You. We give this time to You right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You from death to victory. right now I ask, are you identifying with him? Do you know what it means to have personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And if you don't let this moment slip away. But I'm gonna ask, as we celebrate what God does in our life, as we celebrate God's desire for us to identify in him, let's just stand up this morning. Let's sing this out. Let's have the band join in and let's just worship him for who he is, because he is alive in us. We are crucified with Christ. We no longer live, but he lives in and through us. Opportunity you've given us once again to identify in you. God, I pray that it would not just be an emotion. God, I pray that it wouldn't just be something we did. God, I pray that as we leave this place, that we would truly identify with you. God, for those of us that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, God, I pray that we would proudly wear the identity of child of God. More than any other title in our life, more than any other difficulty or struggle, God, I pray that that would be central to who we are so that we can make a difference in the community that we live in. God, for those of us today that may not yet know you in that way, God, I pray that we might begin to take the next step in our journey of faith to move closer towards you. God, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple things before you go today. First of all, thanks so much for being here with us. I know a lot of you were here to support Kim today as she was baptized. I know it meant the world to her. She has a ton of her family here and other folks, and she talked all week about how excited she was that you were coming. Thank you so much for being a part of our worship today and supporting, encouraging her. Some of you, it's just great to see you week after week and the way that you come and you help and you serve and you worship with us. Some of you, it's the first time I've seen you today. It may not be your first time here, but maybe just the first time I got the chance to connect with you. Thanks so much for being here and doing that as well. If this does happen to be your first time that you're with us, don't forget on your way out, check in at the table in the front. We just got a little gift to give you, just a way of saying thanks for coming by and seeing us. And we're glad that you're here. And hopefully it will be warm enough soon that you can use it right now. I need something for hot beverages, not cold, but hopefully it'll warm up eventually and you'll get the chance to use that as you leave today. We're excited about what God's getting ready to do. God's already been doing awesome things in our midst as a church, as individuals, in our journey groups, things like that. But next Sunday, we're kicking off a series that really piggybacks right on what we've been talking about in identity theft. Many of you have told us that identity theft has been significant to you, that it's been meaningful. Well, we're stepping into a series next week called The Movement. We're gonna have some stuff up on Facebook this week. Go like Journey Church on Facebook so you can see those updates when they come. We'll throw some videos and other things up this week. What does it mean to find a movement in our life? You ever felt stuck? You ever felt in the same place? You ever felt like you're in a rut? Well, The Movement is gonna talk to us about how we get out of that, how we find movement in our life. It's also gonna talk to us about what it means to be a part of the movement. The movement of Jesus Christ, the movement of the church in our world. And so we are so excited about what God's gonna do. But here's what I know. I know that you have friends, I know you got coworkers, I know you got family that are in that place in life where they feel stuck. And for about 2.5-3 years, I've worn a silly black band on my wrist. It was a thing for church planting that I got a long time ago. In fact, I wore through it so many times, I had them send me extra ones so I could put it on after the lettering wore off and that kind of thing. And it was a constant reminder to me about what God had called me to do and my responsibility to him and that kind of thing. And so we thought we would do something for this upcoming series. We got these bright orange bands so that you can't hide them no matter how much you'd like to. It just says Journey Church, take the next step. And it has movement on there. And what we would love for you to do, if you'd be willing to invite someone with you next week, or the week after that, or the week after that, to be a part of what we're doing in this movement series, we want you to take one of these as you leave today. Put it on. Wear it all week. Wear it all series. You can shower in them. You can do the whole nine yards. You know, I know what it's like. You take it off, you forget about it, you know. Put it on and use it as a reminder to you. When you're in that situation at work where you really want to tell off the lady in the cubicle next to you, and you look down and go, okay, maybe that's not the step I need to take in my journey of faith today, you know? Or maybe there's that person, it's just a reminder to you to invite, to bring with you and help connect. I'm excited about what God's going to do, and I'm excited how you're going to be a part of that as we share. So please grab one of those as you leave today and help us be a part of the movement. Have a great day. Enjoy yourselves. We'll see you in a journey group this week or back to worship again next Sunday.